Welcome to The Word for Today, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor Chuck Smith, founder of the Calvary Chapel Movement. This radio program is a verse-by-verse study through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, Pastor Chuck continues with the purpose of the parables, as we pick up in Luke chapter 18, verse 1. And now, with today's message, here's Pastor Chuck.
Luke chapter 18. Luke tells us that Jesus now spoke a parable to them to this end. In other words, the purpose of the parable was to encourage people to pray and not to faint, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. It is interesting to me that so often when people come almost fainting over the dilemma that they are facing. You know, they're just breathless. They're at the end of the road. They're desperate. They're almost beside themselves as they begin to pour out. They mean, they're just so full. They just can't continue. They're just pouring out all of the woes and the problems and the difficulties and all. And they're, you know, just that release valve is popped and it's just psh, and all over the place. And then you say to them, when they finally have come to some kind of an equilibrium, you say, well, now, have you prayed about it? No, but, you know, we got to do something. We can't pray. And yet that's exactly what the Lord is saying. We ought to pray and not to faint. You know, I have found that the Lord doesn't give needless warnings. Now, many times when he warns, I think that they are needless. I think, Lord, you don't need to talk to me about that. I've got that one wired, Lord. No problems there. And yet, it is in that area where the Lord has given me warning that I ultimately end up in trouble because I didn't listen. I didn't think I needed the warning. As I read through the scriptures, I find that those things that the Lord warned the kings about were the very things that ultimately they got in trouble for. God knows. He knows what lies down the road. And he doesn't warn us needlessly, nor does he exhort us needlessly. And in this parable, to the end that men ought always to pray and not to faint. That is the area where so many people have problems. They're always fainting and not praying, just turning it around. Now, in the parable, do not make the mistake of thinking of it in parallelisms, because Jesus, first of all, speaks of a wicked judge. The Roman judges, or those that were appointed by the Roman government, were notoriously crooked. In fact, there is a Greek phrase that means the judge of honor. But by just a slight change, the phrase is the robber judge. And so it was very common. And in the classical Greek, you can read often this switching of the phrase. And they would, rather than saying the honorable judge, they'd say the robber judge. Because they were so notoriously wicked. Always, well, they said you could buy them with a pound of beef. That they were just wicked men. And they use their position. And so Jesus is talking about this kind of a judge. And he said, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, shows what kind of a person he was. Yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she wears me out, she wearies me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. And then he gives his lesson in prayer. Now, I said, be careful that you don't get into parallelisms with this parable and think that this unjust judge represents God. That is not the case. Jesus often taught in parallels with sharp contrast. And this is one of those parables, not of parallelism, but of sharp contrast. For surely he would not put God in the light of an unconcerned, unjust judge. Unfeeling. That's the exact opposite of what he teaches us of the Father who loves, who cares, and who is concerned. So this parable is one of contrast. The contrast is this. If a wicked man, hard, who regards neither God nor man, if he can be persuaded just because of the persistency of this little widow, in sharp contrast, shall not God avenge his own elect which cry unto him day and night, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Now, Jesus isn't really then teaching that you've got to persist in prayer and continue and continue and continue until you get your answer. He is saying that God will avenge speedily those who call unto him. So don't in your mind draw the parallel, this God is like this judge and I've got to just keep pestering him until I get what I want. If your cause is right, if your cause is just, I believe that God is only waiting for you to open the door through prayer so that he can do what he's been wanting to do the whole time. You see, I'm convinced from the scriptures that God knows what I really need long before I ever know it. God knows what I'm going to be needing 6 months from now. God knows what I'm going to be needing 5 years from now. Prayer is not really informing God of my needs. Jesus said, your Father knows what you have need of before you ever ask him. Yet so often we think of prayer, we think that we are informing God now of what my need is. God, let me tell you what I need here. And I'm going to cue you in, Lord, and so you can understand what I really need. And I'm using prayer as a means to inform God. How ridiculous. God doesn't need that I should inform him of anything, for he knows everything. God loves me. He is my heavenly Father. His chief concern is my eternal good. Notice eternal good, not my temporary good. Now, there are some things that I may feel would be temporarily beneficial to me, but God knows that eternally they'd be damning to me. And so I try to inform God of my temporal need, and all the while he knows my eternal need. Now, if I could, by persistence, just by dogged persistence, by bugging God through prayer, break God down, so he finally say, oh, answer that nut, I'm getting tired of him calling, you know, then I could be bringing into my life all kinds of hurtful, harmful things. And God loves me too much to be dissuaded from his perfect will for my life by responding to my prayers when they are not in accordance with his eternal plan. I want to share something with you. I don't want God to switch his plan as the result of my continued request. I want God's perfect will for my life. And prayer is not really intended to get my will done on earth. Prayer is intended to get God's will done on earth, and so true prayer begins with the purpose of God, the plan of God, the will of God, and he makes that known to my heart, and I express it to him in prayer, and by my expression in prayer, what I am actually doing is opening the door and giving God the opportunity to do what he's been wanting to do, what he's desiring to do, but will not do against my will. You see, God has given to you this business of free will, the power of choice. God will not violate that choice. Therefore, prayer opens the door for God to do those things that he desires to do in my life. In the 15th chapter of John, that glorious chapter of the relationship between the believer and Christ, Jesus said, "You've not chosen me, but I've chosen you and ordained that you should be my disciples, that you should bring forth fruit," because that's that fruit-bearing chapter, "I'm the vine, you're the branches, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, he may," notice, "he may," not "he shall," "he may give it to you." You see, it opens the door that God may do now what he's desiring to do. Your prayer has opened that door for God to act freely without violating your will. So I am of the opinion that the wisest prayer any of us can ever offer to God is, "Lord, just work out your complete, perfect will in my life. Have your way, Lord, in my life. Do for me what you want to do." I think that many times our prayers can be limiting God. We limit him in our prayers. They're putting the boundaries and the restrictions on God. Like the children of Israel who limited the Holy One of Israel. So we so often do that in our prayers. "Oh, Lord, I need $100. I need it desperately, Lord. You know the bills are overdue, and I need $100. God, please send $100. Why don't you just say, "Lord, please send what you know I need." Why limit him to $100? He may be wanting to give you $1,000. So there are some times when I think that being very specific is not so good. For years, I prayed for a church of 250 people. I thought that was the ideal size, and oh, how I dreamed of pastoring a church of 250 people. Prayed for that number for years. Limiting God. God had other things in mind. I didn't know what he had in mind. Oh, that we would understand how much the Father loves us. Oh, that we would trust his wisdom in his dealing in our lives. Oh, that we could come to that place of total commitment of ourselves to him. "Lord, you do what you want for me. Lord, I rest in you. I'm not making any demands on God. I'm not trying to command God. I'm not trying to sit on the throne and be sovereign myself. I'm not trying to get my will done on this earth. That's not why I'm here. And that's not the purpose of prayer. It's to work in harmony with God to get his program accomplished on this earth. is to link together with God and join with Him in His great program of reaching this world with the love of Jesus Christ. God, Your will be done. Your purposes be accomplished. Use me as ever You see fit as Your instrument, Lord, to do Your work. Here I am. I'm available to You. And whatever You want, Lord, for my life. Whatever You want to do in me, whatever You want to do through me, Lord, I'm available. Here I am. Your will be done. Commitment. Now, I don't always understand the difficulties that I am going through. I don't always understand my trials. There are times when I cry out of my distress. And yet, there is always that understood relationship that I have with God. That even though I don't understand, Lord, Your particular working in my life at this moment, You just keep on working. Like my wife says, if I scream and yell and holler, don't let me have another bite of chocolate. And that's pretty much, Lord, if I scream and yell and holler, don't do anything contrary to Your will. I don't care how much I scream, how much I holler. Lord, Your will be done in my life. That's supreme. That's paramount. So Jesus is not saying that God is like this unjust judge. He's saying He's totally unlike the unjust judge. But He's illustrating by contrast, if a man who is so hardened, so calloused, so crooked, that he has no regard for God or man, if he can be persuaded by the persistency of the little widow, shall not God avenge His children speedily? Yes, He said, I say He will. But then Jesus asked an interesting question. He said, nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, shall He find faith on the earth? We are told in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 24, one of the signs of the end of the age would be the iniquity in the earth abounding, causing the love of many to wax cold. That goes along with this question. I believe that we are living in the hardest period of history to live a consistent, consecrated Christian life. I don't believe that ever in history has there been more temptation placed so freely before men. Through the media, through the movies, through television, through magazines, we have been overexposed to sexual enticements. That area has been stimulated and aroused. And at the same time, there's been a deteriorating of the moral standards, a broad acceptance of relationships in the society in which we live. And I do not believe that ever in the history of man has there been such a broad exposure and a more difficult time to really live a truly committed life to Jesus Christ. And because the iniquity in the world is abounding, the love of many is waxing cold. And the question then that Jesus asked becomes very significant. When I return, or when the Son of Man comes, shall He find faith on the earth? True, genuine faith and trust in His word. And He spake this parable unto certain of those which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and looked down on others. These are those people, and you've met them, that look down on every. They are so critical of everyone else. They are like Job said to his comforter, "Surely you are the people, and wisdom is going to die with you." People who are self-righteous, they feel no need of any help in that area. And they are critical, condemning, and look down on everybody else. It's interesting that Luke begins to explain to us the direction that the parables are taking. So this parable is to those who trust in themselves that they are righteous and despised others. And there were two men who went up into the temple to pray. The one was a Pharisee and the other was a hated publican. The word publican became synonymous with sinner of the rankest sort. The tax collector, the crookedest man in town.
We'll return with more of our verse-by-verse Bible study in the book of Luke on our next broadcast, as Pastor Chuck continues to teach through the Bible, and we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now, if you'd like to order a copy of today's message, simply order Luke 18 when visiting thewordfortoday.org. And while you're there, be sure to browse the many additional biblical resources by Pastor Chuck. You can also subscribe to the Word for Today podcast or sign up for our email subscription. Once again, that's thewordfortoday.org. For those of you wishing to call, our toll-free number is 1-800-272-WORD, and our office hours are Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Again, that's 1-800-272-9673. If you prefer to write, our mailing address is The Word for Today, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And now, on behalf of The Word for Today, we'd like to thank all of you who share in supporting this ministry with your prayers and financial support. And be sure to join us again next time as Pastor Chuck continues his verse-by-verse study through the Bible. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. And now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck.
May the Lord be with you, give you a beautiful week. And may His words sustain you as you walk with Him in fellowship. May God really begin a powerful work in your life. May the Spirit of the Lord just really rest heavy upon you. May your life be like a light shining in a dark place, that others might be drawn to that light and find the source of the light, even Jesus. So God bless you and give you a rich week in fellowship with Him.
This program has been sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.
Gather the kids together because The Word for Today would like to present a kid's book by Pastor Chuck called The Story of the Resurrection of Jesus. Each book contains an audio CD of Pastor Chuck reading this story, featuring the voice talents of Skip Heitzig.
"But I will come back again on the third day."
Greg Laurie.
"It's Jesus."
"Hi, Peter."
Raul Reese.
"See, it's really Jesus."
"Yes."
Cheryl Broderson.
"The stone was rolled away. The tomb is empty."
And so many more. It's never too early to start reading to your children timeless biblical stories taught by Pastor Chuck. To order your copy, call The Word for Today at 800-272-WORD. Or to see a sneak preview, visit us online at thewordfortoday.org, where you can order this book in print or as a digital download. Again, the number to call is 800-272-9673.